JazzCast Pros.
Inevitably, as a business owner, your mind is going to run a little wild. It's going to spin out. It's going to go into the what ifs. It's going to spiral into who am I, imposter syndrome, all the stuff that comes up as you're pushing yourself outside of your comfort zone. In order to help combat that, you need some grounding techniques. You need the muscle to release those thoughts, calm your brain, ground yourself. And today we are talking with Katie Woodruff, who is a journaling tour guide and is going to actually end this episode with a beautiful guided meditation. Do you have things that you want to do for yourself or for your business, but they always get put on the back burner? Do you want to share space with others getting stuff done? Well, join the High Vibe Coworking, which is every Wednesday from noon to noon EST via Zoom and totally free. Visit highvibe.com/virtual to learn more. Welcome to High Vibe Table Talks, the podcast to help you, the cautiously ambitious woman, remove mental barriers and take action now so that you can achieve your high vibe desires. I'm Rashawn, your High Vibe curator, cheerleader, and accountability partner. As a wife, a mother, and an entrepreneur who recently quit my job to follow my dreams, I understand why you may be hesitant to throw caution to the wind and take that leap. So without further ado, let's talk with Katie Woodruff.
Hi, I'm Katie, and my business name is called Abundantly Aware. I also have a podcast called Abundantly Aware, but I'm also a journaling tour guide, which essentially means that I get you from starting your journaling practice to hopefully the middle and not the end. And I am located in Toronto, Ontario.
I love the title journaling tour guide because I think that there's a couple things that I think of when I hear that. And people know what to expect with a tour guide when it comes to places. And people can look at journaling, especially if you're new to it and are like, I don't even know where to start. And that's where working with someone like you and your journal and things like that are so beneficial because you're able to guide them and help them get to, like you said, the middle of where they want to be and just really a lot more comfortable with something that can feel uncomfortable when you first start.
You're totally right in that people just like know what a tour guide is. And that's kind of why I use that term. And I think of it like an art gallery. So you have a tour guide in the art gallery and they take you through each piece and they explain the piece to you, but then they leave you to think about how you feel about the piece, what it brings out for you. And then you coalesce again and you talk about it and they bring you through each piece in the museum and you can come back or you can go to different ones. And that's kind of how I explain the programs that I create and the journals that I create. It's like a different experience every time you come in.
Mm-hmm. And just like art is very subjective, it's very personal. It pulls on your life experience and your perspective, your paradigm. And that's very similar to journaling. It's very internal and intrinsic and based on what you're currently going through. So that's a great example.
Yeah, 100%. I don't think that we should be put into boxes when it comes to journaling or told how to do it, to be honest. I think that we should be given examples, prompts, and examples on how to do it, and then take what resonates with us and go forward.
Mm-hmm. So can someone have a bad journaling experience?
I don't know. I don't think that I ever have, but I think it just depends on the thing that you're journaling on specifically, right? Like maybe it brings up something terrible and you don't know how to go forward with it and you don't know how to work through it after the fact, or you don't have other tools in your tool belt, like, I don't know, a meditation or a walk or someone to like also speak with. But ultimately, I don't think I've ever had a bad experience. Yes, it's made me feel achy at times, but I use things, like I have things in my tool belt to move me past that and to move me around that. I heard this from someone else, parenting. So I parent myself on the pages. So if something like really terrible comes up, I parent myself through it after the fact and reassure myself that I'm okay and I'm safe and that the pages are here to support me. I do call the pages my sanctuary. So I don't know if I would be able to consider it ever a bad session.
Yeah, it's interesting. A lot of time, a lot of conversations that I've had with different entrepreneurs on this podcast, what comes up is relationships with, obscure feels like the wrong word, but you have a relationship with those pages and you are interacting with them not as you're this physical thing that I am writing on. It's like, you're here to support me. I'm here to like use you as an energetic exchange.
Yeah, I kind of see it like it's an extension of myself. Like the pages are an extension of myself, and it's a way to just like move through feelings, because I call myself an overthinker, because I am. When it's like stuck in your head, I can't move through it. That's also why that I bring people to, like, you don't necessarily have to bring it to pages. You can go in your voice memos in your phone and speak to your phone. I do it all the time. Granted, I think I end up deleting those ones, whereas my journals, I have every single one of them. The Sunday that just passed marked 1,000 days that I've journaled in my journal, and I have every single one of them stored away. So like the voice notes I don't keep, but maybe you would keep on an external hard drive or a USB stick. It would probably end up having to be an external hard drive, given how much memory I know that audio takes up. But yeah, like I don't see what's wrong with processing it that way instead of on the pages. But I choose the pages just because they feel most supportive to me.
And that's amazing. 1,000 days. That's incredible. And that, I mean, talking about consistency and showing up, and like, I'm sure that some sessions were better than others, and some things may have brought up more questions than answers. And I'm sure there were many days where it's like, okay, I guess like not necessarily in the zone, but that's not what it was about.
Yeah, no, I like to set boundaries. I walk you through how to do that in my physical prompted journal that I have available on Amazon. Like, I like to set boundaries around my journaling practice. So one boundary I have is zero pressure. There's zero pressure to write any amount of words. There's zero pressure to write any amount of pages, because if you've heard others that speak about journaling, they like force you into a box of you must write 3 pages every single morning. And just sometimes I don't want to. And sometimes like the only moment that you have, like I've set it into my routine, but sometimes the only moment that you have is like 5 minutes before your kids get off the bus, or 4 minutes before your next call, and you just need to get something out of your head and onto the pages. And I don't see what's wrong with that. And that's why I put zero pressure on it whatsoever. My pages do usually end up being, sometimes I write, I don't know what to write. But most of the time it ends up being like a paragraph or a page. And then sometimes, you know, I've already journaled for the day, and then at nighttime, I'm like, oh, I just got to work through this right now. And so I write.
Yeah. Your journal, which I'll put the link to in the show notes, because it is, it's gorgeous. It's so
I actually have a copy right here because I'm at my desk. So I'll show everybody who's watching, because I know that some people listen, but this is it.
Oh. It just is such a vibe, like, and, you know, it's called Creating Sanctuary, which it has this like dark internal, like, but like cozy vibe of like, I want to, like, you talked about parenting yourself. I want to like take care of myself in like the image that is on there. It's really, really beautiful.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I didn't create the image myself, but I totally 100% agree with how it like just makes you feel like you're in this cozy library and you've opened what looks like a book, but it could also just be a journal, because there's no like, you can't actually see writing on the pages. And you're just in this like comfy, cozy, dark cove of, I guess, the inside of your mind. Yeah. I really love the artwork on the front of this as well.
And so on your Instagram, you call yourself a journaling guide for introverted overthinkers. I was thinking as I did that, I don't know if I have had any other self-proclaimed introverts on my podcast as guests and entrepreneurs. So, and I have heard a lot of people who are like, entrepreneurship is for extroverts. And you've recently made the jump and are now a full-time entrepreneur. So can you walk us through that? Like what entrepreneurship looks like for you as an introvert?
Oh, that's a really good question. See, for people I know, they would consider me an extrovert. But if I'm with a very extroverted person, like I seem to just call towards me. All my friends are like super introverted. I end up being just like more introverted because they've taken on the stage and I can just let them be. But when it comes to entrepreneurship and being an introvert, I think it's really just about being comfortable. And as of an introvert, I believe that you can become comfortable with calling yourself an entrepreneur or doing the things that you need to do as an entrepreneur. And I think also with journaling, you can just make it work for you. So like if you don't love speaking to a camera on Instagram, you can do faceless videos or you can film yourself from afar. So your face, you're working on something, but you're not actually paying attention to the camera that's on you because B-roll, you know, works. You can also email people instead of going to networking events if they scare you. I just feel like you can work around what entrepreneurship is to fit you and to suit you if that worries you as an introvert. For me, I think like I'm super nervous every time I go to a networking event. Have I been to any with actual friends? Oh no, it wasn't a networking event. So no, I don't think I've actually taken a friend, but I think that would be beneficial to like make yourself feel safer. I think it just depends on what type of entrepreneur you are. I don't necessarily only identify as an introvert. I also think that I have some tendencies that are extroverted. So sometimes I call myself like an ambivert, which is what it's called. I've heard before, but I just think that introverts could really benefit the most from a journal because I've always tried to journal as a child and never actually followed through. So
yeah. You, as I said, recently took the jump to entrepreneurship. So tell us like where you are right now, how you're feeling, because it's relatively new. A lot of people that I talk to is like, oh yeah, I did it last year or I'm 3 years in, but you're like very new to that jump. How are you feeling?
Yeah, as we record this, it's literally been less than a month. I've had 2 weeks actually. And I don't know, I took the first week to like cleanse my space of the old thing because I used to like do my full-time job here. And so I completely cleansed the space and took everything out and brought everything back in that felt really, it just felt so clearing and like it just made me feel so open after the fact. Like I finally had space. And last week was my first official week working for myself. I'm not going to say that it went wonderfully or perfectly. I'm still super nervous about the fact that I took this leap and I decided to do what I'm doing. I think I made the right choice. Actually, no, I don't think I know. I know I made the right choice for me specifically. Like we always hear these people say they left their job and like either they supremely prepared or they didn't. And I'm in the didn't category. But I think that I just had to for my mental sanity and my mental health based on the job that I was doing. It just really, really was not for me. I felt like I was burning out. And apparently there are multiple ways to burn out, not just like overworking, but also underworking. Like your brain is not stimulated enough. And because I'm going down the rabbit hole of potentially getting diagnosed with ADHD, I feel like the understimulation really affects me greatly. I like to have projects and tasks to do all of the time. It energizes me, makes me feel really good about the day. But I also know when to stop and when to rest. And I'm right now currently at the time where I'm kind of trying to figure out a schedule for myself. So that is what I'm working on at the current moment, trying to figure out like maybe a theme day would work. But yeah, so for right now, I'm feeling excited, optimistic, but also scared at the same time.
And I know when you were in that kind of decision phase of should I leave my job and leave kind of that comfort, it felt like for me was like very daunting of like, right, what if I make this choice and regret it? I really feel like in that headspace, any action is good action. Even if you got out and were like, wow, I am glad I'm not there anymore, but I don't want to be here. At least you've made progress and momentum. And when you're in that phase of like, I have to make the next perfect right step, it can feel like, what if I make the wrong one? Then I'm going to regret it. on the other side of it is there is no wrong decision. You know, any action is momentum.
I totally agree. It's just like a different choice that you're making, right? So I've like made this choice and I get to choose again. I get to make a different choice again next time. And I totally agree with thinking about it that way, because then you're not like, you're not stuck, right?
And stuck is a heavy word when you're in that of like, I'm not where I want to be, but I don't know how to get to where I want to go. Like stuck is just the perfect word for it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like I do have a good trajectory based on conversations that I've had. And I also feel that like stepping into entrepreneurship, the first time I did it, because I've done it before, serial entrepreneur here, but I feel like having a community of people that you can talk to about what's going on in your mind and what's going on in your business is extremely helpful, like more than I can even put into words. I don't think I could really put it into words, but it's extremely helpful. Yeah.
So if someone were to say like, oh, well, I'm a, you know, especially a solopreneur who's doing it all themselves and our to-do lists are never ending and there's always like more that we could do, journaling, meditation, grounding efforts feel like they are important, but they're not urgent. And there's so many other urgent things on our desk and our list.
Right.
What would you say to someone like who's like, I have too many things to do. I can't add journaling and meditation or grounding exercises into my day-to-day routine?
Well, part of me, my first inclination when I heard that question was that that's kind of like a lie. I don't know. I completely understand because I am a rusher and we've got to do this and I've got to do this all the time. But the person has thought about it, right? The person's thought about adding journaling into their life, adding meditation into their life, adding some grounding exercises into their life. So if you've thought about it, then you're aware of it. And I feel like being aware is your first step. And that's why, you know, my business is called Abundantly Aware, because I believe that awareness is the first step. And now that you're aware of it, you can add those small little things. And it doesn't have to be huge. Which I know is hard because sometimes you're like, oh, just a minute of meditation feels like I haven't even done it. But once you're aware, then you can create like affirmations that you tell yourself. I'm a big affirmation person. I constantly tell myself like, you are rushing right now. You need to stop. You need to think. I know that you have 20 things on your list right now. Like yesterday, for instance. Yesterday in Canada was a family day, and I thought we were going to do something on Sunday with our family, and we ended up moving it to Monday. So I had plans to work all day, and those got pushed away because we were out at 10 a.m. and not home until after dinner, and I was like, great, this is wonderful. I haven't been able to do my work, and now I feel like crap. But instead of like spiraling, I took to my journal this morning to like really, really affirm to myself that it's okay. Like, it's okay that you missed a day. It's not the end of the world. You'll be okay. You'll be fine. You'll still get work done. And if, well, some things will have to be removed from your list, and that is okay. And tomorrow's a new day, and next week is a new week. And just because things didn't go to plan, you need to remind yourself that it's 80% follow through. You do not have to follow through 100%.
Yeah. And like you said, even if it's a minute of meditation, it's showing up and it's practicing using that tool, because entrepreneurship is so confronting and is very much something that brings other things to the surface. And if you don't have the tools to manage that and or community to help you work through those things, you're going to burn out, you're going to spiral, you're going to self-implode. And so using meditation when you're not in that self-implode space and honing that practice and finding the affirmations that do work well for you, the prompts that do work well for you, the ability to get into the subconscious, you have to practice those in moments where you're not like on edge, because then you can't pull from them when you are on edge.
Yeah. And like, that is why I I put it into my routine, though I don't believe that it necessarily has to be in your daily routine, because some people, it just can't be because their days are different. But like, even if it's just in your weekly routine, then you know I have my date with my journal next week where I can like implode all of this information. Or, you know, I have a moment right now, I can just record a voice memo and then go back to my pages later to explore the thing that was going on. And that's actually partly why, like, the first time I was an entrepreneur, it was so much different than how I feel now, because I didn't have that community and I didn't have my journaling at that point. And it's something else that I teach people is like, have a bank of questions, have a bank of prompts that you can ask yourself on the days when it feels like you don't have enough time. And you don't even have to have a big journal. Like, you can just buy one of these pads and you have a sticky note, and that's your journaling for the day. You don't have to keep your journal. You don't have to keep a journal. You don't have to keep all of your writings. If you just write down on the sticky note how you're feeling in the moment before you get to your to-do list, I think that your day will also just go smoother.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be less anxious.
One thing I want to pull from there too is that, like, you're a better entrepreneur because you have this toolbox to pull right. from. Right. And so it can feel like, oh, I have all this other stuff to get done, but you're able to show up as your best and most grounded and most vibrant self because of this practice that you have, that you worked on day in and day out. And like you said, not everyone has to have a daily, but some sort of scheduled space to do it.
Yeah.
Normally at this point in the podcast, we do lightning round questions, but Katie and I were prepping for this and thought it'd be a really cool opportunity for her to do one of her meditations to end this episode. You haven't experienced meditation previously, dip your toe in. It's 3 minutes. And if you have, it's a nice way to kind of ground yourself for the rest of the day. So first, before we start that, where can people find you, Katie?
All right. So the best place to find me is on Instagram at Abundantly Aware. You can also find my podcast. I have later episodes. Some are including meditation episodes, and they're like maybe the longest meditation I think I have recorded is about 10 minutes. So you can find me also at Abundantly Aware on YouTube, but also Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts.
Perfect. We will link all those in the show notes below. And now I will hand it over to Katie.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Marshawn. Thank you. Okay. All right, everybody. So if you want to make sure that you're in a comfortable seated position, and you can either close your eyes or you can find a spot ahead of you to focus on, I'm going to take you through a grounding exercise that hopefully will bring you towards feeling more grounded. I want you to place your feet flat on the floor, and you can rest your hands in your lap, and you can have palms facing up or down, whatever feels most natural to you. And we're going to start how I start all my meditations, with 3 deep breaths in through your nose and out through your mouth on a count of 3. And I want you to let all of any tension you may be feeling, and don't forget to drop those shoulders down as we take a deep breath in. 1, 2, 3, out. 1, 2, 3, in. 1, 2, 3, out. 1, 2, 3, one final in. 1, 2, 3, out. 1, 2, 3. Continuing to breathe at your natural rhythm, I want you to bring your awareness to your body, feeling the weight of your body on the chair or cushion that's beneath you. I want you to notice any sensation you may be feeling. The warmth of your hands, the gentle rise and fall of your chest as you breathe. Now imagine roots growing from the soles of your feet, and and they're extending down into the earth below you. Feel these roots anchoring you firmly to the ground, providing you with stability and support. With each breath, imagine drawing up the earth's energy through your roots, filling your body with a sense of strength and grounding. I want you to feel this energy flow through you, nourishing you from the inside out. Now, bring your attention to your thoughts. Notice any thought that arises without judgment, and gently let them go, like clouds passing in the sky. Return your focus to the sensation of your breath, the rise and fall of your chest or belly, the rhythmic inhale and exhale. Take a moment to appreciate this feeling of groundedness that you've created within yourself. Know that you can and will return to this place of inner calm and strength at any time throughout your day. We're now going to take one final deep breath in. One, two, three, and out. One, two, three. And you can slowly open your eyes. Bring your awareness to the space around you. And I want you to carry this sense of grounding with you throughout your day, knowing that you are supported and centered. And so it is.
Do you have things that you want to do for yourself or for your business, but they always get put on the back burner? Do you want to share space with others getting stuff done? Well, join the High Vibe Coworking, which is every Wednesday from noon to noon EST via Zoom and totally free. Visit highvibe.com/virtual to learn more.